Now, the rest of the story. Last summer, 1987, Delaware Senator Joseph R. Biden got a new nickname, Xerox Joe. It seems that while a first-year law student, he had plagiarized a paper and failed a course on account of it, and the media learned of it. And as though that were not enough, on August 23, during his closing statement in an Iowa debate, Biden extensively quoted, without crediting, a speech made by British Labour Party leader Neil Kinnock. The theft was virtually word for word. And to make matters worse, Biden had introduced the stolen remarks with a deceptive claim. Quote, I started thinking as I was coming over here, and so forth. And as though that weren't enough, the senator did it all over again 3 days later before another audience. And as though that weren't enough, the media began uncovering other instances in which Biden had swiped material without identifying the swipee. And so, Xerox Joe. Biden attempted to defend himself. He dismissed the plagiarism charges as much ado about nothing. But then Shakespeare had said that in 1599. So that's how ludicrous the whole thing became. And yet humorous, even inconsequential as much of this sounds. The embarrassing borrowings of Xerox Joe had a tremendous impact on the American political landscape. It demolished his own campaign for the presidency of the United States. Some say it shattered his health. It shivered the timbers of the other candidates to the extent that most would now rather sound boring than borrowing. And about the time that all this was making a lot of noise, Edwin Yoder, writing for the Washington Post, observed that to find a presidential class orator who wrote most of his own lines, you'd have to go back to Woodrow Wilson. And indeed, American politics, at least word-wise, is crawling with thieves, reasonably good-looking apparent pundits who sometimes haven't the foggiest notion what they're saying or who said it first. But I remember one politician who was looking for a slam-bang ending for a speech, and he came up with one. I don't know precisely how he came up with it, but literary history has some suggestions of its own. That rip-roaring conclusion to this politician's speech had been said before, more or less. It had been said by Matthew Fontaine Maury in a government report dated in 1851. But then he probably stole it from a famous preacher named Theodore Parker, who said it in a sermon the year previous. But then he may have ripped off James Douglas, who said it 20 years before that. And before that, Webster had said it, and Marshall had said it, and Lamartine had said it. But then Lamartine was paraphrasing Robespierre, who said it first. Only Robespierre did not say it first. Nor did Thomas Cooper, who said it anyway in 1794. Nor, as far as we can tell, John Wycliffe was the originator of the phrase, when in 1382, in the year 1382, he first wrote these words. This Bible, and I'm quoting now, is for the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Mr. Yoder, in his Washington Post article, said that Abraham Lincoln was the only writer of stylistic distinction ever to occupy 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Lincoln wrote his own material. Well, now you know the rest of the story.